Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. For spreading lies about two Georgia poll workers during the 2020 election, a jury has ordered Rudy Giuliani to pay $148 million in damages to Ruby Freeman and her daughter, Shay Moss. Giuliani says he'll appeal.
The absurdity of the number merely underscores the absurdity of the entire proceeding, where I've not been allowed to offer one single piece of evidence in defense.
The damages verdict comes after Shay Moss and her mother, Ruby Freeman, tearfully testified about being harassed and threatened. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The testimony we heard was really quite wrenching, and I think that's why you see these very high numbers from the jury. The testimony by the plaintiffs indicated that they were the victims of really a hateful digital mob.
In Tel Aviv, hundreds protest after word from Israel Defense Forces that it killed three Israelis who were being held hostage by Hamas. More from CBS's Charlie Daggett.
In the chaos of the street battles underway in Gaza, three Israeli hostages are now no longer counted among the missing, but confirmed dead. Killed by Israel Defense Forces, mistakenly opening fire after identifying the three young men as a threat. Claiming full responsibility, IDF spokesman Daniel Hagari expressed what he called deep sorrow for the tragic incident.
The United States has experienced a 12% increase in homelessness due to its high, its reported level, that is. And federal officials say soaring rents and winding down of pandemic assistance combined to put housing out of reach for more Americans. 34-year-old Liberty Hennigan and her five children are in San Francisco.
Rent is really, really high. Legally, we can't all be into a two-bedroom. Like, if I put on a lease, like an application, a two-bedroom, something I can afford, or a one-bedroom, we can't rent to us. So that's why we live in our car.
There apparently were some quality control problems at Moderna's main factory, CBS's Alexander Tin reports.
Moderna, one of the manufacturers of the COVID-19 vaccines, was reportedly faulted back in September, according to a Reuters report, during a routine FDA inspection for some shortcomings in its quality control procedures, resulting in a so-called Form 483 at its plant based in Massachusetts. There is no sign that the shortfalls resulted in any actual quality issues with the company's shots.
Big Bang Theory star Mayim Bialik says she has been told that she is no longer a Jeopardy host. Ken Jennings has been hosting the syndicated show by himself. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
The holidays are the happiest time of the year. That is, unless you or your loved ones are miserable because of colds, sinus infections, or allergies. This holiday season, give the gift of better breathing with Navage. Wash away your cold and congestion problems this holiday season. Add Navage to your gift list so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
This holiday season, give them a steal. Save $40 on the HSA 45 battery-powered hedge trimmer. Go to steelusa.com/giftguide. Now $99.99, was $139.99 MSRP. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Don't let a cold, sinus infections, or allergies ruin your holidays. Add Navage to your gift list so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Lead. While the state did get federal funding to offset the cost, that federal money is only enough to replace around 95,000 lines. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers volleyball season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers women's volleyball team tied the match at one apiece, but the Texas Longhorns, who won the national championship last year, took over up 15-3 in the third set and never looked back. Texas advances to the NCAA finals on Sunday against Nebraska. Wisconsin returns home today with a final season record of 30 wins against just 4 losses. Men's college basketball, the Badgers with a win at home, 75-60 over Jacksonville State. NFL, the Packers have a problem. A.J. Dillon, their most productive running back this season, suffered a broken thumb in the loss to the Giants Monday night. It doesn't look good for Dillon to play Sunday against the Buccaneers.
If there is some hurt, not making it a bigger issue than it is down the road. And then the next question is, will I be able to go out there and positively impact the team with me being out there? And so, you know, we still got some days left in the week. And, you know, those questions I got to figure out myself.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight. There could be a little drizzle at times and lows close to 40. More clouds for tomorrow. Some rain developing in the afternoon. Highs to the mid-40s. And a mostly cloudy day for Sunday, again in the mid-40s. A few rain and snow showers Sunday night. It's 42 right now.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlights. Hour number two on a beautiful Friday night in Green Bay, downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin. With Christmas fast approaching, what could be any better? Hey, we got a few more texts. Our question tonight is, I have to go back to it. What fictional character from a movie or TV would you like to spend the holidays with? And we're also taking, fielding answers from our Best Underdogs movie, because today is National Underdog Day. So I did get a few texts then. Someone just said Loved Air, which is an underdog story, kind of. And then the celebrities they'd like to spend the holidays with, Humphrey Bogart. I'm guessing that's an older person, but I love it. And Taylor Swift. And that could be anybody. That could be probably a Swiftie. I'd kill to be a Swiftie. And then here's another one. Best underdog story in movie, Heaven Can Wait. Well, that's one from the past. Warren Beatty playing the part of Joe Pendleton, Los Angeles quarterback that is taken to heaven accidentally from his guardian angel, played by Buck Henry, actually, who was great. A great underdog story and the journey back to life into someone else's body and falling in love with Betty Logan, played by Julie Christie, smoking hot back in the day. That sounded like an IMDb synopsis until the smoking hot back in the day part. So whoever sent that, thank you.
That was actually my dad.
That was Conrad's dad?
Yeah.
Oh, make sure your mom. Paul Gilmartin is with us. Paul, are you there?
Hi, Pete.
Hi. Here's the big awesome intro I had for you. My next guest is a very good friend and someone I learned a lot from when I started doing stand-up comedy years and years ago. He's the former host of Dinner and a Movie on TBS, and he is a regular on the Bob and Tom Show and has had many stand-up specials. It's my pleasure to welcome Paul Gilmartin. See how I do that? I go backwards a little bit.
That's nice. And I like that that according to you, my career ends in 1998.
Well, your most recent success you didn't want to talk about. So,
no, I was just working. I'm just tired. If you were going to ask me about depression and stuff like that, no, I'm. You can talk about the gig I've been doing since 2011.
So it's okay to mention the mental illness happy hour. Okay,
of course.
Well, I'm trying to be respectful here, but it is a fascinating podcast, and I love where you come. Your point of view with it is so great. You're like the perfect guy to do that. You know, it's awesome.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
So
it's so good to reconnect with you, man. You're just one of my favorite comedians and friends, and I miss you living in Los Angeles. You know, there is a certain type of comedian that, like, people can be professional stand-ups, but that doesn't mean that they make other comedians laugh.
Correct.
And you are one of the comedians that makes me laugh. Unfortunately, not audiences, but you've always made me laugh.
I thought that was another bad career move for me. I thought I should start with Paul
and then branch out. It didn't really take. But thank you for the nice words and back at you. I mean, you were a guy that I was excited when I first met you because I had heard about you and making the rounds in Chicago and all that. And it was fun when I actually finally met you and then became friends with you, which was great. And I have a story for people that I don't know if you remember this, Paul, but this is the kind of guy Paul is. So when I moved to LA with my wife, we had planned to, Paul helped us assimilate in a way we did not anticipate. So I was going to stay. My aunt was dating a kind of a famous composer at the time, and they lived in the hills of Glendale. And, you know, he said, stay here. When you move out, we're not going to be here. We're going to be at his place in Wisconsin. So he said, stay here. I said, well, that's great. Thank you. So we drive all the way from Chicago to LA. We get there. The key is not where he said it would be. And I'm like, we are screwed. We are in LA. We have nowhere to go. And it was because his son, what happened was he and my aunt drove to Wisconsin, got in a very bad car accident. He ended up losing his life, which was horrible because he was a great guy. And his son, who is also a famous singer, who I won't name, but it rhymes with Mitchard Rarks, didn't want us staying in his dad's house. So he took the key and left us stranded. So I called Paul, and you and Carla, Paul's wife at the time, were not there. He said, go stay at my place. We're not even in town. You stay there as long as you want. And that's what we did. And that helped us. We felt like, oh my God, we have friends. We forgot, you know, it's like, we have great friends here. This is going to be a lot of fun. And it worked out. So that's the kind of guy Paul Gilmartin.
You know, it's so funny. The only part I remember from that is when we came back in town, I said, how was the stay? And you were like, it was great. Thank you so much. And then you related an incident where you walked into the bedroom and my dog was on your pillow licking its ass.
Listen, the things you do for free lodging, you put up with the stuff like that, you know.
You just made me laugh.
I just turned the pillowcase inside out. It was fine. I do kind of remember that now that you say that. So anyway, okay, so what is going on? Other than most of my listeners, Paul, probably, I mean, everybody remembers Dinner in a Movie. Tell us about that experience.
You don't have to do the everybody thing.
They do, Paul.
People who are over 35 remember Dinner in a Movie. It was on from 95 to 2011, but mostly people remember it from 95 to 2000.
Okay, so everyone except Swifties remember Dinner in a Movie. It was a great show. Tell us about it.
I had fun doing it. It was what's called an interstitial show, which is there's a movie playing and then you see us in between the movie and the commercial, maybe a half dozen times throughout the movie for like a minute and a half, sometimes 2 minutes. And we're cooking a dish themed around the movie, usually some type of pun in the recipe title. And we're just talking about food and talking about the movie and busting each other's balls and having fun. And it was improvised. And I think that was one of the reasons why it struck a chord with people, was so much of TV was scripted and just controlled, you know, the life squeezed out of it by people wanting to control it. And TBS was not a big station. It was, you know, just your basic cable station. And it was this little show on it. And so they didn't even really pay attention. They just let us do our thing. And I think when you have that kind of freedom, you can kind of find your personality. And I think the show found it and people liked it or seemed to like it.
Oftentimes, I mean, even people that I really am a fan of personally, they do something. I'm like, wow, I don't get that. Like, you're happy for them. But whatever the show is, or that, just like, I just don't get that. But that's great because I love them and whatever. That was a great show. That was just like, I don't know who came up with that idea. I know it wasn't your pitch, but it was like just a great idea just to have, and to have you guys riffing, you and Annabelle. And I mean,
Claude, who is the chef. He was one of the two people that came up with the show. He and Kimberly Carlson was the other. She was a TBS employee who pitched the show along with Claude because they had been friends for a long time. Claude was a chef and still is a chef.
My guest is Paul Gilmartin. He was the former host of Dinner in a Movie on TBS and a great stand-up comic. And he most recently has been the host of his own podcast, The Mental Illness Happy Hour, which I highly recommend, even if Paul's taking a break from it and tired of talking about that kind of stuff.
That's an exaggeration. There's just other things that I would prefer to talk about because almost 99% of the podcast guesting I do, we talk about mental illness. So I'm just like, I'm talking with my friend Pete, let's mix it up.
So, okay, fair enough. You might not remember this, but we played guitar together. You taught me a lot about the guitar, actually, when I would come over to your place, and we played a song called Bittersweet by Big Head Todd and the Monsters. I just want you to know, I still play that song today.
Do you really?
Only slightly better than I played 25 years ago, but yeah, it's a great song.
I don't even remember how to play it.
Oh, it's easy. There's four chords. That's how every song is. No, it was a great song though. Those were fun days playing guitar. Hey, Conrad, I want to play. All right, Paul. So you're on all over the state of Wisconsin right now, or at least people have access to the show all over the state. We're going to play.
Theoretically, people are listening in Wisconsin.
I'm getting texts. But one
Let's
of them
look
is
at the hard
mom.
Numbers, Pete. That's a different
Let's
story.
Let's not. All right. We're going to play. This is a poem Paul Gilmartin wrote about Packer fans. We are in Wisconsin and I'm in Green Bay. So let's fire that up, Conrad.
Five ticks left in the Super Bowl. The Pack, they trailed by one. The ball marked near the 50. Favre warmed up his gun. And in the other end zone, a man rose to his feet. Tim, the diehard Packer fan, knew this was destiny. Shirtless, painted green and gold from his forehead to his hiney. The smile slowly left his face. He said, "Someone hold my liney." He wet his finger, felt the air. A headwind turned their way. Favre, he taught, he's got the gun, but he needs our help, yeah, hey? He lumbered down the steps. His mission now was clear. Neutralize the headwind or wait another year. And as he stepped onto the field, security stopped him short. They asked him who he was. He said, "I'm Tim. I'm from up north." Whereabouts, they fired back. Sheboygan, he revealed. "What do you catch?" He said, "Mostly pike." They let him on the field. As Favre barked out the signals, Tim chugged a giant beer, and then another, and one after that as tension filled the air. The ball was snapped, a route was run, Favre unleashed the ball. Never had there been a spiral so clean and far and tall. And then it hit the headwind and started coming back. Tim felt a rumble in his gut. Now was time to act. The burp came out so long and hard, the Yukon felt a breeze. A tidal wave of beer and brats and half a wheel of cheese. The blimp was lost for 7 days. Skybox glass was shattered. An Oshkosh woman lost her teeth. Tim's stomach left in tatters. But the pass came down, the catch was made, and just before Tim died, he was heard to say, "The Packer back. Oh, for cry I I." His headstone reads, "Tim gave his life, never did he wince. He tailgates high above old Lambo, grilling brats with Vince."
Okay, so was that on Bob and Tom?
That was. Okay. That was on Bob and Tom.
I forgot the laughter was on there. I should have.
And I wrote that when I was in Green Bay. It was preseason, the year that they went on to win the Super Bowl, and I just had a feeling they were going to win that year. And so I didn't know if people would like it, but I thought I'll make it specifically for people in Wisconsin and people specifically in Green Bay, and they liked it.
I think Tim was my neighbor in Marinette. All right, I'm talking with Paul Gilmartin. Can you stick around for 60 seconds, Paul? I want to ask you a couple more things about road stories. So Paul Gilmartin is with me tonight on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a train is trying to tell me something. But we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find. If I met you, let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who wants to wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts.
The Shaw, WAUK. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect community companion to your local civic media radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Come on!
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Night Lights. My guest right now is Paul Gilmartin. I got a couple more texts here. Okay. Underdog movie. Prison underdog story. Shawshank Redemption. Andy Dufresne, played by Tim Robbins, outsmarting the warden. That's a good one. And then favorite holiday underdog. Christmas holiday underdog story. Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart. No argument there.
How about Albert Brooks in Broadcast News?
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, that's a great one. And Albert Brooks, I almost said Modern Romance, but he's not really an underdog there. He's just an erotic. Did you see the documentary on HBO?
I loved it.
That was
I love
good.
Anything to do with Albert
Me
Brooks.
Me too.
Did I ever tell you my Albert Brooks story?
No.
Well, you know the moment in Lost in America where he comes down and his wife has been gambling all night and she's at the roulette table saying 22,
come on back
22.
To me.
Yes. And he finds out that she's lost all their money. So I'm in, this is, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I'm in Vegas and I'm playing the roulette table and being a jackass, I have some system that I think I'm going to, every time I lose, I double my bet. And eventually, you know, I'll be able to cover the streak. And of course, you know, it starts off great. And then I just get pounded and I'm pounded like $100. And so I'm just about to get up. Oh, and they have a screen, an electronic screen that shows how long it's been, how many rolls since every one of the numbers have hit. And so my system was always betting on the number that hasn't hit in the longest time and doubling my bet every time I lose. And again, it worked for a while until it didn't. So I'm about to leave and I hear a voice that sounds like Albert Brooks. And I look and he's sitting near the roulette table with a woman who I guess was his wife or his girlfriend. And I look up and I see what number hasn't hit in the longest, and it's 22. And I was like, this is a sign that
you
I
have
to bet on this. And I'm like, you idiot. This is why you've lost $1,200 this afternoon, right. And you're broke for the rest of the week. So I get up and I leave. And just for the heck of it, I turn around to see what number hits 22.
Come on.
Albert Brooks turns to his girlfriend and says, hey, look, 22.
I'm impressed that you didn't say anything to him.
It was hard.
I know.
It was hard not to.
Here, okay, because I've met two or three people that have met him and say he's tough. When you meet him, like most people that have heard it all, you got to come from left field with something or just don't say anything. Like I was at a urinal once, Paul, next to... Hank Kingsley, Jeffrey Tambor, the actor, Hey Now, from Larry Sanders.
Sure.
All I wanted to do was turn to him and go, hey now, but we're peeing at a urinal. Like, you don't do that.
And 90 people said that to him that day.
Exactly. So I applaud you for not saying anything.
That's why Paul Newman stopped giving autographs. Somebody asked for his autograph when he was peeing at the urinal. And he's like,
come on.
I'm done. I met Daniel Day-Lewis at Pete's Coffee in Los Angeles. They go, a cappuccino for Danny, and he grabs it, and I look, and I'm like, oh my God. Pete, whatever composure I had around Albert Brooks, it was not
gone.
There for Daniel Day-Lewis. I might as well have been twirling my pigtail, telling him about my entire life, and he was so gracious, but I was a babbling idiot.
I love that.
Trying to make some type of connection. Yeah, it was pathetic.
You know, it was funny. You guys played a game. You'd been out in L.A. longer than me and Jimmy Pardo, and you guys played a game, the weirdest celebrity at the weirdest location. And I think by the time I had moved to LA, it was Ernest Borgnine. There was an Ernest Borgnine sighting at a Target. Well, my wife, Mary, her mom visiting us, Peg was visiting us. They walk into a Joann Fabrics, and who holds the door open for them but Mike Tyson? Mike Tyson at a Joann's Fabrics. And I remember telling you guys that, and you were all speechless, like, game over. Like,
done. That was the one. Done. I thought you were going to say Joann Fabrics, and it was Joann Worley. It's going to be like, that's a tough one to beat.
All right. I want to play, before we run out of time with Paul, I want to play your Christmas poem. This is one of the things that has made me laugh the most when I was doing stand-up, and I kind of forgot about it, but I found it today, and I was laughing hysterically like I was years ago. Conrad, let's play the Christmas poem, please.
Eggnog, tinsel, falling snow, buttered rum and mistletoe, trimming trees and hanging lights, the sound of carolers fill the night, shopping hours long and hard, Visa phones and cancels card, unpaid bills and mounting debts, family gathers, depression sets, drinking starts, harsh words are said, dysfunction rears its yuletide head. Argument turns to shoving, drunken brother punches cousin, tree tips over, popping lights, curtains catch, house ignites. No one hears the reindeer cries, wedged in chimney, Santa dies. Yes! Though he kicked and did perspire, his chestnuts roasted on an open fire.
Oh, man.
Merry Christmas!
That is so great. I have to find the joke you did, though, about waiting in line at the bank. And I will find that the next time you come on, I'll have that ready, because it's such a great joke. So I got about two more minutes, Paul. What do you have a road story? And do you remember the Fred Klett story? Bill Leff was on the show last week. Do you guys remember what you did to Fred? Do you have time to tell that in 2 minutes?
I do. We would, when the other comic, as you know, there's usually three comics on a show. And Bill is one of the most playful people I know, and loves to just goof around, make each other laugh, play practical jokes. And I think when Fred Klett was on stage, Bill and I dressed up as waitresses and went and served drinks to people right in the front row. In front of him.
Fred Klett, a Wisconsin comic too, from Milwaukee. Yes. Yeah.
That was my memory. And yeah, Fred definitely laughed.
Okay, so I have more to that story than Bill told me, not last week, but years ago. He said he told Fred you didn't like him. And Fred, like, he's one of the most likable guys. He's like, what are you talking about? He said, and Bill Leff said, yeah, Paul said he's going to put sugar in your gas tank. So he, at the Zanies in Mount Prospect outside Chicago, you could see all the way to the door from the stage. So Bill said, you made sure Fred saw you, and then you went outside to make it look like you were going to put sugar in his gas tank. And Fred got distracted on stage. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Such, I totally forgot about that.
Just such great times. Like, I mean, but I want you to come back soon, Paul. I got a lot more questions to ask you. I hope you come back soon. This has been a lot of fun.
I'd love to, man. I always love connecting with you.
Absolutely. All right. You're going to have to tell me your Menominee story next time, too. It's Paul Gilmartin, the former host of Dinner and a Movie, host of the Mental Illness Happy Hour, and all-around great guy and hilarious fellow. Paul, happy holidays, buddy.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah. Okay, so in just a couple minutes, I know I've had a lot of people ask me, oh, you sold a movie, you write scripts. How do I do it? How do I go about it? Well, there is someone that you really should ask, and she is a script guru. So if you want to write a screenplay, or if you're considering it, stick around. This is Pete Schwabba. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A big legal win for a mother and daughter who sued Rudy Giuliani for defamation over accusations made against the former poll workers in the 2020 election. Shay Ma says she and her mother feared for their lives.
Our greatest wish is that no one, no election worker or voter or school board member or anyone else ever experiences anything like what we went through.
Israeli Defense Forces acknowledged the killing of three Israelis who were being held by Hamas. The incident happened as the IDF carried out a military campaign. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says President Biden
has not had a conversation with Prime Minister Netanyahu about this incident. He has been briefed by his national security team about it.
The category for Final Jeopardy, historic structures. Here's the clue.
Mayim Bialik is parting ways with Jeopardy, but says it was not her decision. Bialik started sharing hosting duties with Ken Jennings after longtime host Alex Trebek died. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrace Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is.
In the breast
breaking
milk.
Breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight. There could be a little drizzle at times and lows close to 40. More clouds for tomorrow. Some rain developing in the afternoon. Highs to the mid-40s. And a mostly cloudy day for Sunday. Again in the mid-40s. A few rain and snow showers Sunday night. It's 42 right now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We are winding down on a Friday night. Only been on the air 2 weeks. Conrad, do you believe we've only been on the air for 2 weeks?
It feels like longer. I don't know.
Oh, thanks a lot. Here's the thing. I got Conrad a pair of nude pajamas for Christmas. I think he took it wrong. I just did it because they're comfortable. I wasn't trying to send any kind of message, but I think ever since then, things have gone downhill between us. But we'll figure it out. So a couple more texts here. Our question tonight is, what TV or movie celebrity would you like to spend the holidays with the most? Someone put Christopher Walken. So, okay. That's interesting. And then underdog movie Rudy, which is a good one. So, all right. So I'm really excited to talk to our next guest because oftentimes as a writer living in Wisconsin, I get people to come up to me and they ask me how to go about writing a script. What should I do? And my dime store philosophy is just sit down and do it. I mean, that's kind of what I did. And you kind of find your way and you figure it out, but you have to want to do it to get through it. My advice stops there. But tonight I'm bringing on an actual script guru who has turned her business of teaching screenwriting into a multi-billion dollar business. Is that right, Pilar?
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah, no. Multi-dollar.
Multi-dollar. That's more than one. My guest right now, the creator and founder of On the Page, Pilar Alessandro. Welcome, Pilar.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Pete.
Hey, this is
guru.
Fun.
Guru. No. Don't call me a guru. That sounds like I'm on a mountaintop, or it just sounds awful. You can just call me a teacher. That's cool.
I think you don't want to be in a mountain. You want people to be able to access you easily and to, right. You don't want to be in a mountain. All right. So it's just a script person, but that's not as sexy. Yeah. That doesn't sound as good. So
that's all right. That's all right. It's truthful.
So I just mentioned Christopher Walken, and have you seen the film Annie Hall?
Of course. Gosh, okay. So long ago, but yeah.
So my son Joe and I watched that about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Christopher Walken is one of my favorite parts about the whole movie. So crazy. But at the end, in the credits, they misspelled his name. Honestly, I took a picture with my phone. I'm like, how does that? I love when I see mistakes on big Hollywood films that have huge budgets. Like, it's inexcusable. I'm more forgiving with indie films. Okay, I know what they're working with. I've been there, but that's inexcusable, right?
Well, would it have been considered an indie back then? I'm just wondering, Woody Allen by that time, was it, studio fare?
I don't know. It's probably like his fourth or fifth film. He had done, What's New Pussycat, Zelig, Midsummer Night's Comedy, whatever. I'm trying to think of all the movies here, but I can't. I don't know. But I'm gonna look into this and I'm going to get back to you. But for now, we're talking screenwriting. And that's what you do, Pilar. So when I first met you, you were a writer. You had just gotten some traction on a script that you wrote that was really good. And you had just started teaching or consulting. I don't even know if you were I think you had clients individually then. And now you have to rent a space and you have this big studio and all this stuff. And I don't know how you got through COVID, but you must have. How did you do that? Wow, that's a pretty big deal. How does it feel?
Well, I want to clear one thing up. So no, I wasn't getting traction on a script. I wasn't a writer. I was story analyst over at Amblin and then at DreamWorks. And so I was reading a lot of big scripts and I was reading for the companies and I was giving notes on the scripts there. And Pat, who my husband, was nicknaming me Crusher of Dreams. So I thought, that's not exactly my favorite nickname. And a lot of what I was learning from doing this story analysis felt like if I could just tell this writer this one thing, I bet they'd make their script better. So people did start coming to me and saying, if you work for this place, can you read my script? And I would give them actual notes that was actually helpful. And I started teaching people how to read scripts and they were getting jobs and I loved teaching.
Nice.
And so I started sort of teaching these tools that I was helping other people with and the classes caught on and that became a book and, and then the podcast. So it kind of grew naturally, but it's always been the intention of, because I want to genuinely help people make their work better or actually write and finish a script.
And I know that's not true what you said, because you wrote a script and either Gail Ann Hurd was helping you or that's who you got it to. But Pat was going on and on about it. And maybe he was making that up.
No, I forgot about that. You know what? I totally forgot about it.
All right. Somewhere, so you're a writer.
Somewhere in there, I also wrote something and Gail Ann Hurd was going to make it. And then it didn't happen. But you know, it's so funny. It's so funny that I've literally forgotten about it, because I really define myself as a teacher and a story analyst, but you're right.
Hey.
I plumb forgot, because it's just not what I do. All my creativity goes into my lessons. They really do.
And thank God for that. I mean, Greg and I, my writing partner, sometime writing partner, Greg Leanna, and I have used you. I've come to you many times by myself. And that leads me to my next question. What is the most common problem you encounter when reading people's scripts? Is there a common problem?
You know, it used to be overwriting, but people have a lot of knowledge now. They can find out a lot about editing their scripts. So that's not the problem anymore. What I find as the problem is people being derivative and not realizing it. So all of those great movies that we grew up on, wonderful. It's wonderful that they're influences, but when you are copying it and not realizing and not putting your own originality into it, that's a problem.
Right.
And people play it too safe, and they do that a lot.
That's interesting. My guest is Pilar Alessandra. She is the founder of On the Page, and she teaches people how to write movies and TV. So if you are interested in doing that, she's great. I highly recommend her. I've used her myself, and she is outstanding. So who are some of the people you've trained that have gone on to do big things?
You know, I had a feeling you might ask this question. So I actually made a list, because usually like I'm sort of deer in the headlights with actually like name dropping people. So somebody I'm proud of, who you'll see all over the place. She's a co-EP on House of the Dragon and on Daisy Jones and the Six, Charmaine de Gratte. She came to me without having written anything, and now she's a big shot.
Oh my gosh.
Showrunner Karen Gist was one of my very first students 20 years ago, and she was on a little show called Grey's Anatomy as a co-EP. I've got people on The Morning Show, True Lies, The Conners, Good Trouble, Little America, Cruel Summer, and then a movie that just came out, well, not just came out, last year, came out on Netflix called The Starling. With Melissa McCarthy, directed by Ted Melfi. And then just the other day, I was just, you know how you just got your mow down and you're like, I wonder what's on. And there was a client's movie that I helped her with.
Oh, nice.
Jennifer Cram. This is an indie called Sick Girl. And she's also a Midwest girl. And I think you'd like it. So that's just sort of like a little sample. Like I get to see my writers, you know, grow up to be big, strong, employed people. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's so cool. So do you have a problem? Like, do writers come to you and tell? I know that my biggest issue is just sitting down and doing it. Now I'm kind of spread all over the place. I don't have as much time to write. What do most writers say to you is their biggest issue or their biggest hurdle?
Well, I think that analysis paralysis is a problem.
Yeah.
Like they get inside of their own head and start overanalyzing their choices before they've even put them on the page.
Yeah.
So I think that gets in their way all the time, and it keeps them from being original and crazy and stupid. I mean, nobody's in that room with you. You should just write whatever you want, but they start second guessing themselves.
That's interesting. And you said before that a lot of writers get repetitive. This is interesting. I know I did that when I first started writing. I would over explain everything, dialogue. Mm-hmm. I was dialogue heavy. And in a silent film, there's no dialogue and people still tend to follow it. So that's a great lesson for writers, I think. You don't have to over explain. And I'll give you an example. The movie Silent Night that came out a couple weeks ago with Joel Kinnaman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Silent movie. Other than 18 million gunshots, there's no dialogue. Honestly, God, the script is probably 40 pages long and it's all action. John Woo directed it. And I was like, by, you know, 10, 15 minutes in, I'm like, oh my God, I bet he's not going to say a word. And it's interesting. It's not a great movie. It's interesting with what they did, but I had no trouble following the story. Now, there are times I wish there was a little dialogue, but my point is what you're saying is so true, that writers have to trust that some you have to. All right. What do you say to a writer like this? You have to trust the actors, but the actors aren't attached yet. So how do you find a balance between writing something on the page and getting it past the point where it actually goes to actors and gets greenlit?
That's a really good question, because you have to do a balance between being descriptive and emotional and not overwriting and not overdirecting on the page. So it is important to give those emotional cues. If something happens, how does it make a character feel? What's the expression on their face? Because once we know how they feel, then they're motivated to do the next thing and everything makes sense. But if you're micromanaging that between every single piece of dialogue, then you're over-directing. So you have to find those key moments to draw the eye to and help the director and actors without over-choreographing.
Right. And you're so right. Like, someone reading your script is going to get bored. If they've already read this, it's like, I know he feels this way. Why is this writer saying this again? You know, it's so true. Do you have a genre that you like reading the most or that you like watching the most?
I love a good psychological thriller. It's really hard to do because it's very hard to surprise. And you've also got to mind that tension. And it's so subtle. So it's really challenging for writers. It's challenging for me, but I still love working with a writer on one. I love watching psychological thrillers too. But I have to say, like, I'm kind of open for anything when I see a movie. I just want it to be good, honestly.
Are you able to just watch a movie and have fun? Or are you like, oh, this script must have been, like, are you kind of dissecting the actual screenplay?
According to my family, I am a complete pain. And the joke, like my youngest daughter at one point was like, I don't want to watch a movie with Pilar Alessandra, screenwriting professional. I want to watch a movie with my mom. So like they call me Pilar Alessandra, screenwriting professional. So I guess I'm a pain in the butt. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what you're going to get from your family though. So do you ever have students that, you know, first of all, let me just say the writing process, even if you're bad, is a good exercise. It's good to sit down, get whatever is inside you out, lose yourself in what you're writing. There's a beauty in that. And I always say, you know, directors, producers, they're all important, but when you write a script, at least you have a story. You have something people can read. That is the most important part of the process. So having said that, do you ever have people that write, that hand you terrible scripts, you think they have no talent? And if that's the case, what do you do?
Well, I have a different way of working with people now from the ground up. We start with the idea and then I assign pages and segments so I can catch things right in that first act when they start making those mistakes and going certain places.
Oh, that's why a teacher is so important. That's a great process. Yeah.
So it's a lot, you know, it's different than it used to be when I'd get like big scripts and I'd have to read the whole thing and I'd have to go, okay, this is really interesting. Now I want you to do a huge rewrite.
Go back to page 4.
yeah. But you know, I work with, you know, advanced writers, but I also work with beginning writers, and I have watched people that you would think would never get it. Like the light turns on and suddenly they are just intuitive with the page. So it's my belief that, you know, there kind of is no such thing as an untalented writer.
That will happen with me. Just be patient with me. I'll get there. My guest is Pilar Alessandra. Can you hang around for like 60 seconds? I got a couple more questions for you. Do you mind?
Yeah, sure.
Outstanding. It's Friday night. What else are you going to do that hang with Schwabe, right?
Exactly.
So it's Pilar Alessandra from On the Page. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett,
I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds, and any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Peach Bob. We are broadcasting live from City Deck here at the WGBW studios in Green Bay. Beautiful downtown Green Bay. Got another text here. Jim from Appleton, love your show. Getting Tony Shalhoub would be an awesome coup. I agree, Jim. If you have connections, I'm willing to hear you out. Thank you for the nice text. And one more text for our fictional character, Katherine Hepburn. Now, we were talking about Ten Chimneys, the awesome house in southern Wisconsin where the first couple of Broadway would bring their guests, Laurence Olivier. And so maybe that sparked something. But yeah, Katherine Hepburn, that would be pretty cool. So I'm talking to Pilar Alessandra. She is a script professional, as your daughter put it, not guru. I would say guru, but I don't want you on a mountain. It's too dangerous. So I got a few more questions here for you before we wrap the show up. How can people in Wisconsin that want to learn how to write a script or want the discipline, how can they do that and how can they approach you at On the Page?
Well, first I want to say that two of my favorite clients/students are from Wisconsin. One I'm working with right now, his name's Bill Zeinert. Hello, Bill. He's really good. And he writes, you know, yeah. Right. And he's used Wisconsin as a backdrop. And Nick Johnson, who wrote about a Sheboygan sausage eating contest. I love that.
Okay.
Yeah. People from all over the world, and all over the country can work with me. All my classes are now live on Zoom. And I love working on Zoom, and they can just go to my website onthepage.tv, and I actually created a coupon code for your listeners if you're interested.
Hey, cool. What do I have to do? Do I have to do anything?
Yes, you personally, Pete.
Okay, I have to go deliver the coupon. That's the thanks I get for having you on the show. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I need you to get on their voicemail. No, it's just if you go to my website, Nightlight10 is the coupon code to get 10% off of classes.
That is so great. And I'm telling you, folks, if you do want to learn how to write a script, Pilar is great. She will get you through the whole process. And at the very least, you'll have a completed screenplay, which I sent my first script to someone who's a big, huge success now, former Chicago comic. And he said, first of all, his note was, first of all, congratulations on finishing the script. That is no small task. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? I get it. You know, now as I get older, I'm like, yeah, every script you write is a little victory. It's hard to get through. It's like doing a math equation. You know, everything has to work. So I get it. And at the very least, if you go to Pilar on thepage.tv and want to do something like this, you will get through it and you will have a finished screenplay. What happens to it then, you just never know, but you will have gone through the process. And that's pretty
cool. Exactly. At least you'll have written it.
So who are your favorite writers?
Oh, gosh. Oh, why didn't I write that down? You stink.
All right. Think about that one. I'm truly curious about this, Pilar. How many scripts would you say you've read, and how many would you say you've consulted on, excluding mine?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's been 20 years, I still have about 4 clients a day, and I have 50 students a weekend. So, I don't know, 10,000 scripts.
Wow.
I honestly think that's not good with math. But that could definitely be a reality. Also, all those those people that I read for even before I started on the page, companies that I read for. Yeah, I was reading, 25 scripts a week, something like that. It was crazy.
That is crazy. Wow, good for you.
No, not good for me. I'm exhausted.
I've been to your parties. You guys have a nice house. You're doing something right. And I know Pat's out there busting his butt every day too, but still, that's a really cool thing. So, so I got a couple fun questions here for you.
Sure.
Eggnog, delicious or disgusting?
Delicious. How could it possibly be disgusting? Wonderful.
Who is it? Oh, it was Rob Cohen last night was on. Rob Cohen, I don't know if you've ever, he's a Simpsons writer, and we were the only two that did not like eggnog last night. Everybody loves it, so okay, I throw in
what
the towel.
What is wrong with you, Peach?
There was
Lava.
Two of us. That's it. Christmas tree, fake or real?
Real.
Real, okay.
Yes, right. Yes. Although I might give in next year because it's a lot of work.
It's a mess too, right?
Yeah. But I love a real tree.
Hey, this was so cool. Will you come back sometime and tell us more about screenwriting? Because it's pretty cool.
I would love it. I'm so honored you asked me. Thank you so much, Pete.
Hey, thanks for taking time out on a Friday. Say hi to everybody. Thanks
I
so
will.
Much. All right. Pilar Alessandra, scriptwriting guru. I'm just going to say it. She's great. So if you are interested, on thepage.tv, it's a great experience. And here's what I want to close the show. Conrad, do we have the Rocky speech?
Yes, we do.
All right. The theme tonight was underdog movies. And we heard some great ones, Rudy, Hoosiers, Rocky. This is not from the original Rocky, but this is a speech he gives in Rocky Balboa. And if you're an underdog out there, I hope you're listening to this. And I hope if you get knocked down, you get back up. So play that clip, Conrad.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life.
All right. That's great.
Don't forget to visit your mother.
Say what you want about Sylvester Stallone. The guy can write a script that will make your hair stand up, or a speech, or a fight. And the music, they've been using the same music since Rocky I, and there's a reason for it. It works. But nothing wrong with being an underdog, folks. I want to thank my guest tonight, Pilar Alessandra. And if you go to onthepage.tv, the coupon code, remember to enter that, Nightlight10, I think it was. Paul Gilmartin, great guest. And Frank Anderson, as always, thanks for your texts and calls. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Kids never have the time.
Home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/Lofi's Bread.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.